The following podcast was recorded at the Presbyterian Church in Burlington on June 7th, 2015.
Please join me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A number of years ago, I visited my seminary friend, Sam Cooper, who was pastoring a church in Clio, South Carolina. And Sam, being the gracious host that he was, took me to a place in Clio called the Saturday Lunch. Now, why was it called the Saturday Lunch? Why do you think?
They had lunch on Saturday.
Not on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Sunday, but they had lunch on Saturday. It was, in fact, open only on Saturday and only for lunch. But it was a town gathering place. It was a town gathering place. Everybody who was anybody who wanted to be seen, probably politicians, came by on Saturdays to the Saturday Lunch. That was an organization that was very clear about who they were and what they did and when they did it. Sometimes organizations suffer from what's known as goal displacement. They start out wanting to serve a particular need, to have a particular program, and it changes over time. Does anybody remember when the Y used to be called the Young Men's Christian Association or the Young Women's Christian Association? And what was it? It was an association of young men or young women who were Christians and who would gather often on Sunday afternoons, Sunday evenings, often in countywide kinds of events. Now, if you go to the Y these days looking for Bible study, are you going to find it? Nope. What are you going to find? Lots of exercise classes. I mean, good stuff, healthy stuff, no doubt about it. But you'll also notice that they're missing three letters. Right? Now it's the Y. It's the Y. Now, our scripture lesson today from 1 Peter is a first-generation statement of the purpose of the Christian church. The letter was sent to Christians in Asia Minor who were trying to be the church in an incredibly diverse kind of context. They lived in a culture where there was, at best, indifference and, at worst, outright hostility. There were many, many spiritual options available to the first century hearers of God's word and of that letter. And so Peter wanted them to be clear about who they were and whose they were. Think about that. A very diverse context. Indifference and sometimes outright hostility. Many spiritual choices available. It kind of makes you wonder if Peter had had a glimpse into 21st century America. Yep, the context our church seeks to serve Jesus Christ in is very similar to what those first century Christians faced. And so it's also important for us to know who we are and whose we are and the purposes for which God has created us. And by us, I mean the Presbyterian Church in Burlington. Why are we here? We must start with God. We must start with the purposes God has brought this community together for, or we're in danger of losing our way. Now, pastor and church consultant Anthony Robinson captures the dilemma that we face. He writes, "If our efforts to be and build congregations do not rest on a core of Christian convictions about what the church is, we tend to go to default options from the culture. The church becomes an entertainment experience with audience ratings." It's no accident, we know the phenomenon known as megachurches, right? Megachurches. Sometimes you go to megachurches, they don't have a cross because they don't want to scare people to death. They're built like theaters. What do you do in a theater?
You're entertained.
You see a show in a theater. And from music to preaching to whatever, sitting in the theater-style seats, and the really up-to-date churches have cup holders too. And pretty soon they'll have recliners. You remember perhaps a sermon I preached that, are we the audience in worship? Are we? Who's the audience in worship? God is. God's watching what we're doing. God's watching what we're saying. God's listening to what's on our hearts. Anthony Robinson continues, if the church goes down the path of being an entertainment venue, it becomes a purveyor of spiritual goods and services, a religious club for people who share the same worldview and experiences, a coalition united around a set of causes or socio-political agendas, or simply a gathering place where people have their individual spiritual experiences but have no strong sense of community. The biblical sense of the church as a people or a body is lost, he writes. Now, the scripture lesson for today, 1 Peter 2, 1 through 12, it's a foundational scripture which tells us what the church is, who we are at our very core, the people of God. We are a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood. We're a chosen race. We're a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are God's own people. We are first and foremost spiritual. We are holy. And what does the word holy mean? Set apart. We're set apart for what God wants us to do. We are chosen by God, much as God chose the people of Israel. We are a priesthood. And the Latin word for priest is pontifex, which means bridge builder. And so we as a people of God build a bridge to God upon which others can travel. We are also the church, in Greek ecclesia, the people of God who were called out. That word, which means, you know, ecclesiastical. Ecclesia means to be called out. We're called out from among the world to do something special. Perhaps the key verse in this lesson are in verses 4 and 5, where we are told, come to him, a living stone, come to Christ, a living stone, chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, not pet rocks, okay? Like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The passage is rich with imagery from the Hebrew Bible, with references to Isaiah and to the Psalms, where the people of God in Israel are the precious stone whom God chooses, uses, and builds up to serve his purposes. In much the same way, the church has now been chosen to serve God's purposes, and Christians believe that Christ is the cornerstone, the living stone, and the foundation of the church. Now notice a key phrase, the way Peter puts it. He says, let yourselves be built. Okay, that's what? What tense is that? Or is tense the right word? It's passive, right? Let yourselves be built. It doesn't mean be completely passive. Don't just sit there. But it means let God work in you and through you and among you. Let God shape our life together. Peter is telling us we're not the builders. God is. And so it is God that forms us and shapes us into the people that God wants us to be. You know, we have all these conversations about, oh my God, who owns the manse? And if we sell the manse, who controls the money? And God's up there laughing. Trust me. Trust me. It all belongs to me, folks. You're just stewards of it. You're stewards of it. And it's given to you to enable you to be the church that I'm calling you to be. Again, Anthony Robinson has some insight here. He writes, there's one thing that distinguishes church from either a not-for-profit organization, like the Y, or a local business franchise, like the Saturday Lunch. He writes, the church belongs to and owes its existence to God, not to us. God has created and claimed the church for God's purposes. The church, then, is not simply whatever we want it to be or what we choose to make of it. It is not simply a consumer-driven entity. Now, we're going to be entering this fall a time of discernment. Now, discernment is a good spiritual word, which comes from a Greek word meaning to sift out or to sort out. Discernment is more than planning based on what we want. Discernment is seeking God's will for who we should be and what we should do. It's not just about making the plans that we want to establish. It's a process of listening to God, understanding what God wants us to do. Now, the process we will be entering in the fall calls for prayerful conversation among the people of God as they seek to claim their identity. And as your bulletin quote from John Calvin indicates, we are not our own. We are not our own. Let not our reason nor our will therefore sway our plans and our deeds. We are not our own. We are God's. So it's important to let God into that conversation, to invite the Holy Spirit to be present in our groups, and to seek to understand God's will. Now, there's cautionary tales out there, and one of them, there were some developments recently. How many of you have ever watched The Hour of Power on TV with Robert Shuler? Go ahead, raise your hands. Okay, you know, a few people, right? Robert Shuler really epitomized the consumer-driven idea of church. Before there was a Crystal Cathedral, what was there? What was there before it was the Crystal Cathedral? It was a drive-in movie theater. And people used to drive in, come as you are, dress as you are, if you're in your pajamas, if you're drinking your coffee, hey, that's no problem. And Robert Shuler would stand on the roof of the concession stand and preach. But from that, he ultimately built this great Crystal Cathedral. He got a lot of criticism for it, you know, people saying it's a little different than a simple A-frame designed by architects from California. People criticized saying, you know, that's a little excessive, Robert. And you know his answer was? Americans love excess. They love it big. They love it splashy. I want the people who are driving by on the highway to look at that and say, holy cow, we ought to go in and see what's going on over there. But you know what happened over time? It became such an expensive operation to maintain that they lost their purpose. They lost their purpose. And it became so much more about fundraising, and more fundraising. And here's another thing. Robert Shuler did something that would never, ever get done in a Presbyterian church. He stacked the staff at the Crystal Cathedral with family. Now, when Robert Shuler retired, his son, Robert Shuler, took over. He took over. He lasted 2 years until there was a family coup, and his sister replaced him. So now the sister's the preacher. The Christian Ed Director was her daughter. The Assistant Minister was the daughter's husband. You see where I'm going with this? They lost their way. They lost their way. They didn't truly discern where God was in the mix. The order for worship at the service of Evensong at Coventry Cathedral says, "You are now entering a conversation that began long before you and will continue long after you are gone. The conversation that we will have here at Burlington is a part of that holy conversation among God's chosen race, God's royal priesthood, God's holy nation, God's own people, seeking to understand what God is calling us to do." Amen.
Amen. And our hymn.
Today's sermon was delivered by Michael O'Brien, interim pastor. This podcast was produced by the Presbyterian Church in Burlington, 335 Cambridge Street, Burlington, Mass., and edited by James McNinch. If you can't visit us in person, then visit our website at www.burlingtonpres.org. This podcast is copyright 2015 and provided under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means you have permission to download and give away copies of this podcast.